From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Whoa! Good googly moogly. Is it 1 o'clock already? Oh, yes it is, folks. It is your favorite time of the day. Current Sports is now blasting through your speakers. As always, I'm the man behind the mic, your host, Al Martin. We've got a hot show in store for you, just like we do each and every weekday at 1 o'clock. Today, you'll get to hear from Audrey Dahlgren of WLNS-TV6. She's a sports reporter and anchor there. Audrey and I will be chatting about the MSU men's and women's basketball teams, as well as diving into an interesting discussion that we have had previously on the show. Big Ten freshman ineligibility. And Tom Izzo, head coach of the MSU men's basketball team, he had some strong comments during his afternoon presser today. You'll get to hear from Tom. Also, we'll dive into the Derrick Rose injury. Yeah, folks, I kid you not. This is not deja vu. This is not a show from 2 years ago, folks. Derrick Rose injured once again. He's debating on surgery. It could take him out for quite some time. We'll talk about that. And also, the St. Louis Rams in L.A.? Yeah, we'll talk about all of that and so much more, folks. But, hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here we go with your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 25th. All right, let's start with the MSU women's basketball team. Tonight in Champaign, Illinois, the MSU women's basketball team will take on Illinois at 8 p.m. Both teams are tied in the Big Ten Conference at 5-11. Now, the Spartans beat the Fighting Illini in the first meeting this season, 63-56, in January at the Breslin, with three players earning double-doubles. Now, Michigan State leads the all-time series with Illinois, 38-28, winning six of the last eight meetings as part of 15 of the last 19 matchups. Now, their last game will be at Saturday, February 28th at Purdue. The season just flying by. All right, Maryland moved into second place in the Big Ten Conference after upsetting Wisconsin at home on Tuesday, 59-53. The final of that one, Des Wells led the way for the Terps with 26 points, ending a 10-game winning streak and a chance to clinch a share of the Big Ten title. Michigan State remains only 2.5 games behind first-place Wisconsin, with Minnesota coming to East Lansing on Thursday. All right, some high school boys basketball action from last night. Trevor Manuel, he had a monster triple-double with 25 points, 17 rebounds, and 11 blocks. That's an Al Jordan stat line, folks, to lead Everett over Lansing Sexton last night. Now, the victory gave Everett sole possession of first place in the competitive CAAC Blue Conference, seeing as though Grand Ledge fell to East Lansing last night. All right, also last night at the Palace of Auburn Hills, the Pistons lost to the Cavaliers 102-93. The Pistons led the first half 62-53, but could not hold on in the second half. Now, the team scored 31 points in the second half with a 30.8 shooting percentage. Reggie Jackson, he had 22 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, and 1 block. Tayshaun Prince also made his return to Detroit last night. The Prince of the Palace played for 31 minutes and scored 7 points. And a great milestone, I tell you what. The great one, LeBron James, the King, continues to add to his already incredible resume. He became the NBA's all-time leader in assists by a forward on Tuesday, passing Scottie Pippen on a pass to Kevin Love for three halfway through the second quarter.
There it is, 6,136 career assists, most by a forward in NBA history.
Wow. Impressive. Now, this milestone for LeBron happened 2 days after he passed Allen Iverson, AI, and moved into 22nd place on the league's all-time scoring list. Quote, "It means way more than what I did passing Allen Iverson on Sunday," James said. "I've always took a lot of pride, and I get more of a rush seeing my teammates succeed more than myself. And that's what an assist is all about." Classy statement, LeBron. Classy statement. All right, the city of Chicago saw two of its top stars go down in the same night. Bulls star point guard Derrick Rose has torn a meniscus in his right knee. the team announced yesterday. Now, the team is still weighing its options, but considering the patience of the Bulls in the past, Rose will more than likely elect to surgically repair the meniscus and sit out the rest of the season, rather than remove an attempt to come back in around 6 weeks. Now, Blackhawks star Patrick Kane is expected out towards the higher end of 6 to 10 weeks after suffering an upper body injury in the Hawks' 3-2 shootout win over the Panthers on yesterday. So the city of Chicago is certainly licking a few wounds, to say the least, today. All right, the Detroit Red Wings, they found themselves only losing in of a 1-0 game against the Kings, LA Kings last night. The Wings couldn't quite get it going on offense against LA, who earned their eighth straight win last night against the D. And last but certainly not least, former NBA player Daniel Orton was fined, get this, $5,650 and released from the Pure Food Star Hotshots. What a name, right? Of the Philippine Basketball Association. After just 3 games last week, after insulting Pac-Man's basketball steals after a game, he said, quote, "Pacquiao playing is a joke. Professional boxer? Yeah. Congressman? All right. Professional basketball player? Seriously? It's a joke." Yeah, you can't do that, folks. Not at least when talking about Manny Pacquiao. He is coveted in the nation of the Philippines. All right, well, those are your current sports quick headliners. Let's start the show. Our phone lines are now open. All right, folks, and the number to call in if you want to weigh in on anything that we discuss here on today's Current Sports Radio is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., folks. Also want to mention that great East Lansing and Grand Ledge game. I was actually out at Grand Ledge High School last night to do play-by-play for that game for the team, 92.1 FM, along with Eric Doc Love, color commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. It was always a great time with Eric Doc Love, and I always love doing play-by-play games. Man, it was a chippy game last night. Interesting. Things have gotten really, really interesting, if they weren't already interesting, in the CAAC Blue Conference of high school basketball. And with the loss, because I tell you what, this East Lansing team, folks, they are statistically the youngest team, folks, in the CAAC Blue Conference. And I tell you what, nobody wants to see this team right now. They are young, but they have a lot of grit. A lot of grit, and they are physical. And they pushed Grand Ledge to the brink. Of course, Grand Ledge is coming off. Probably, it's going to be hard to beat that game on Friday, folks. Many consider it to be one of the best high school basketball games this area has ever seen in quite some time now, as Grand Ledge took on Lansing Everett last week, Friday, at Grand Ledge High School. I was actually talking to Doc, who was at that game as well. They were broadcasting that game on Friday, and he said it was like an atmosphere he had never seen before. I mean, the stands were packed. It was standing room only. I mean, it was an unbelievable atmosphere. The game actually went into overtime with Everett winning that game. It was Grand Ledge's first loss of the season, so they tried to rebound against an East Lansing team that maybe they took for granted. Now they have now lost two straight, and last night, Everett, they took care of business. You heard about the incredible stat line for Trevor Manuel. Man, the Oregon commit. We have, of course, had Trevor Manuel on Current Sports TV and radio along with his father, James. He's a great young kid with an incredible basketball talent on the hardwood. He had a triple-double last night, folks. A triple-double. 25 points, 17 rebounds, and 11 blocks. Whoa, that's a man's stat line, if I haven't read one before, folks. Very impressive. So, well, you know, again, last night, you know, East Lansing, it was a lot of fouls caught in that game. Very chippy, very physical, but a big win for East Lansing nonetheless. You should have saw those who were at the game. I mean, I tell you what, Steve Finnemore and his squad, they were very happy. A lot of smiles. The players, they crowded around each other as they had like a dance-off. It was a fun game to be at, folks. And we'll be having actually Steve Finnemore on the show very, very soon to talk about how his team really seems to be hitting its stride right now. They are winners of 8 of the last 9 games they have played in. 8 of the last 9, folks. Wow. Yeah. You don't want to play East Lansing right now. And their confidence is certainly soaring through the roof. So, yeah, it was a great time, though. Always love doing play-by-play, and it was a great time to be in the house for that game. Well, folks, again, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 9527 517-355-9527. Want to remind you all out there because I've been getting emails. I got a few texts last night and also a few tweets. There will be no current sports TV this week. I know. Grab your tissue for your issue. I really wanted current sports TV to be this week. But, hey, we got other obligations. We will be back in action in a few weeks, though. I'll keep you posted. We'll actually have an Evergreen show that won't actually air next week. But that Evergreen will possibly be right now. We're in the works. We're possibly setting up a sit-down with the Okemos High School hockey team. If you haven't read about the Okemos High School hockey team, they are tearing it up on the ice right now. One of the hottest teams in the area. So we'll keep you posted on that, folks. So again, if you want to call in, 517-355-9527, or if you are a little bit shy and don't want to call in, but you still want to weigh in, tweet me at AlMartinWKR or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and I will read your tweets or comments right here live on the air. Well, let's talk a little basketball for a sec here. Of course, Tom Izzo each and every week, right on the heels of whatever matchup they have. Tom Izzo holds his weekly presser at the Breslin Center to address that week's matchup and to talk about anything that's on his sports noggin. So, of course, Tom Izzo's team is certainly hitting the best stride that they've had all year. They're on a great winning streak right now. And it's a typical Tom Izzo team. How ironic is it that this team is clicking right before March hits? I mean, Tom Izzo loves the month of February and March because ideally that's when you start to see the potential just sort of raise and come to fruition for a Tom Izzo coach team. So Tom Izzo took the podium today at the Breslin Center, and one guy that he is pretty high on is the play of Lou Rawls, Tum Tum, Naren Jr. I love that name. It just rolls off the tongue, folks. I have a lot of fun with the name Tum Tum. There's a lot of things you can do with that name in our business. But Tum Tum has been playing absolutely phenomenal, folks. And I tell you what, one of the genius coaching moves all year for Tom has been starting Tum Tum over Trice, having Travis Trice come off the bench and come in and really just sort of, you know, playing that comfortable two-guard role. I mean, he's been great. Travis Trice has been great, and a lot of that has to do with the play of Tum Tum, playing the role of facilitator, and his confidence is growing game by game by game. So here's what Tom Izzo had to say about Tum Tum during today's afternoon presser.
Well, I definitely think Tum's a guy that he spends a lot of time in this place. You know, he's watching film. He's shooting in the morning. I mean, we got to kick him out of here. He's such a refreshing guy because you'd have to be there when he gets meal money. You know, you think somebody handed him $1 million. I continuously tell him, do not become Americanized. You know, stay right where you're at, you know, and because it's so much, I see so much joy in a guy that appreciates everything. And I think because of that, he studied. I think my staff has done a good job with him. I think there's a confidence within the players that, and he has a God-given skill. He can get over a ball screen about as good as anybody I've ever had. Part of it's because he's small. Part of it's because he's small and skinny, but he's small, skinny, and strong. Those aren't usually the normal combinations. And because he's all three of them, I think he can slither his way through them or he can ram his way through them. But he does get over ball screens well, and he has a very high basketball IQ. Give his high school coach credit. He really understands where he needs to be, where he should be. Studies enough film that he understands what his opponent does. And, you know, if he keeps working and stays that same way, he has a chance to be one of the best defensive players that has played here.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. High compliments from Tom Izzo, head coach of the MSU men's basketball team, concerning, of course, freshman Lou Rawls, Tum Tum, Naren Jr. He's been unbelievable. And I tell you what, you know, again, high praise from Tom Izzo, and deservedly so. I mean, you know, throughout this stretch, much of the success lately of the MSU men's basketball team, you have to give a lot of credit to, again, Tum Tum. He's been great. And you know, something that you heard about even before the season tipped off for the Spartans was how Tum Tum was a leader on the court, you know, before one game had even been played. I mean, throughout practice, I'll never forget when Draymond Green actually came to and participated in one of the MSU men's basketball practices before the season started. And Draymond was quoted in giving a lot of high praise to Tum Tum and said that, wow, he's one of the best leaders he's ever seen. And Tum Tum, as a freshman, to have that type of personality is truly remarkable. And again, you know, one of the I think probably the best asset to Tum Tum's game right now is his defense. Because we all know, I mean, he's very quick, very athletic. He's proven to be a great facilitator. Still needs to, you know, hone it a little bit more. But, I mean, he's a freshman, so the leash is certainly, you know, you kind of give a little bit of a lag on that as well. But at the same time, you know, I think his best part of his game is his defense. You know, we've seen him matched up with some of the best guards in the Big Ten Conference and do a relatively solid job throughout the entire game on them. So his ceiling is very, very high. I always talk about how high ceilings are for players, and Tum Tum certainly is. So very exciting. Also, one note that also Tom Izzo talked about in today's presser, one newsworthy comment, concerns, of course, Javon Best. Javon Best has been plagued with injuries this entire season. We really haven't seen him on the court. And if he has been on the court, he hasn't impacted the game, not much at all. But Tom Izzo talked about how Javon Best will be reevaluated this Friday, and there may be a slight chance of his availability during the Big Ten tournament. So as that story progresses, we will keep you updated throughout the days coming and weeks coming here on Current Sports. Also, you know, this has been a hot-button topic that we have been talking about day in and day out throughout this week here on Current Sports. And, again, we encourage you all to call in. I want to get your thoughts on this as well. But, you know, the Big Ten right now is considering possibly making freshman athletes ineligible and having them sit out to make the transition from high school to college a more fluid one than it is right now. There has been mixed emotions and mixed opinions for many across the board. And, yeah, you betcha, Tom Izzo was asked about that very topic. And here's what Tom Izzo had to say.
I think, believe it or not, I think we're trying to figure out, first and foremost, what is best for a student? What is best for a person 18 to 22 years old? At least that's what I swear to you, 90% of my decisions are based on that. What can you really do to help them? Because those kids, when I'm in that old folks home, they're going to be running our country. Some of them are. And, you know, right now it's the Wild Wild West. It's kind of a free-for-all out there. And, you know, the Constitution says freedom of speech. And now you got different people. You know what I loved about your article? I'm going to say this publicly because I heard it today again. What I loved about it is everybody's got these opinions, and they're never in the basement. They're never with us. Everybody's got an opinion how you should deal with somebody ripping you. 99% of those people never had anybody ripping them. Be 18 to 22 and have that happen. Be 15 to 22 and have that happen. Are we insane what we're thinking? It's ridiculous. It is going to affect you.
I love that. I love that. Again, that's Tom Izzo talking about his thoughts on freshman ineligibility and whether or not, you know, freshmen should be ineligible when they come here, you know, making that transition from high school to college. You know, it's being considered right now to make that transition easily, you know, more easily, I should say, for freshmen incoming. Now, you know, you guys have heard my thoughts on it. I really think that at the end of the day, I don't know if the conference should make that decision. Because for me, I think it should fall in the hands, ideally, of the coaches. The coaches who are around these kids the most, who really know them more so than the overall conference does. I mean, they recruit them, you know, they're around them, you know, more than anybody when they do enter a freshman atmosphere on a college campus. So if, you know, if a coach feels as though a player is not ready to play as a freshman, hey, slap that red shirt on and, you know, let them have the power. I don't know if the overall conference should have that power. And I would love Tom Izzo's comments today because, again, you know, when you look at that discussion, it's one that has a lot of components to it. And, you know, I think, you know, it depends on the person. I mean, everybody handles pressure differently. And no doubt about it, especially when you talk about, you know, college basketball and college football, with the amount of tension that those two sports demand on a national level, on a local level, just period. I mean, the popularity has grown steadily year by year by year when it comes to those two college sports. And with attention comes a lot of pressure. And these are kids you're dealing with. I mean, a lot of them haven't even grown a mustache yet, you know, when it comes to college football, at least. And you're talking about the attention that that garners for them to have to deal with that. It you know, hey, pressure can either bust pipes or it can make diamonds. And this is a situation that it varies from player to player. So very well said from Tom Izzo. I want to invite now, of course, the man behind the glass, my man, 50 grand, Alex Shark. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, man. Yeah, and about these quotes, especially with freshman eligibility, you know, it's funny because you've listened to Tom Izzo for years, Al. You know how he is during press conferences. But I don't think ever has he pinpointed one specific piece of content from a reporter like this and really went into how much he really agrees about it. Have you seen anything like that before?
It's the first time I've ever witnessed it. And I know, you know, Tom has been here in this area for quite a while. And I'm pretty sure he may have done it before. But, you know, it was really cool because, yeah, Graham Couch, actually, this is kind of the segue into our next bite here. Graham Couch wrote an article yesterday, which I read in the Lansing State Journal, which talked about, you know, the demise of Twitter, I guess you can say, and how Twitter has allowed, and I'm going to steal a phrase that Tom Izzo loves to use all the time, it has allowed individuals out there to ideally hide behind keyboards. And I loved it because it was so interesting how Graham, throughout the article, he actually had a snapshot of different individuals in the public out there who have GSTs. I mean, I don't know if you read, if you've seen some of the tweets that are in the article.
I did not see the article yet.
But
no.
Man, you check it out, Alex, because there are a few tweets in there that are just harsh. And it uses a lot of profanity. And it's just tweets from random people out there that happen to be watching the games. And these individuals tweet out there just harsh words directed towards MSU men's basketball players. And I liked it because when Graham put this in the article, Graham didn't put, you know, he put whenever a player was mentioned, he put blank. He didn't put what player they were criticizing. But he did put the official Twitter handles of those out there that decided to criticize these players harshly. He put those names out there because
right,
he
kind of
put them on blast. And I like that because, again, if you're going to make these comments, you got to stand by them at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely. It's like putting it on the front page of a newspaper, Al. And,
right.
And about the player's perspective real quick, I remember last year when Izzo had that event at his house for, it was like a meet and greet thing. I was at the table talking to Keith Appling a little bit, and he was saying how he never goes on Twitter. He didn't even have a Twitter account.
Right.
Because he knew the backlash that he would get during games. So for me, if I'm a basketball player on Michigan State, I say just get off Twitter, man. That way you don't have to face it.
And this is a great life lesson as well, because there are always life lessons in every component of life, I think. You know, in this conversation right here, the world of Twitter, in anything you do, there are going to be individuals who hate. There's going to be haters, naturally. You know what I mean? There's going to be individuals out there to criticize you. And especially when you are an athlete, I think fans take it to another level that doesn't need to go to that level sometimes. And they say personal things, and they think just because they're on Twitter, they're on social media, that these players can't see them. And you better believe, I mean, I remember, you know, Tom Izzo would talk about how, you know, a player like Gary Harris and a player like Derek Nix, when they were here, I mean, they would go on Twitter, and especially, I don't know if you know the Russell Bird story, and Graham actually included this in his article, where Russell Bird is actually sitting in class, and you guys know Russell Bird, he was supposed to be the sharpshooter that was when he came to Michigan State's campus, but Russell Bird is actually sitting in class, and, you know, he's on Twitter, and during the class, I guess one individual, you know, tweeted Russell and said, oh, wow, Russell Bird's in my class. And then somebody responded to that tweet and said, oh, this guy's a bum and is completely bashing Russell. And Russell took it to heart, man. It really, really hurt Russell Bird. And the classic story is of Derek Nix when Derek Nix was here. I mean, he would research his name and see everybody just bashing him. And these are kids at the end of the day. This is another thing. When you talk about college basketball, okay, it's another forum if you were to bash a professional athlete. That comes with the territory when you're an NFL player or NBA player. Yeah, it certainly crosses the line to a certain extent, but you're making millions and millions of dollars. Hey, it comes with it. You got to deal with it. You got to have developed some tough skin. But as kids in college, that's when I have a problem with it, when you are bashing individuals who are 18, 19, 20 years old. I have a huge problem with that. And, you know, I ideally, again, at the end of the day, no matter how much these players may give the cliche answers in press conferences, yeah, you know, hey, I don't pay attention to it. But you better believe there's been once or twice a time where these players have researched their name and seen these negative comments, and it has genuinely hurt them. Because at the end of the day, Alex, I don't care how you want to sugarcoat it, we all want to be loved. I want everybody out there who listens to Current Sports to love Current Sports. I want them to love our brand here. But that's just simply not true. There are probably people out there listening to hate this show. It just comes with the territory of no matter what form you are on. I think Tom Izzo had a very good take on it today. And also, I think we have another bite as well, talking about more in depth, how people just kind of hide behind keyboards and criticize those that don't deserve to be bashed as much as they do. Here it is.
You put names out there of people, and somebody's mad about that. That's what our guys get every day. Same age. That's what my kid in eighth grade gets, a lot younger age. And till the day I die, anybody calls me old school on that, I'll fist fight that. That's right school, man. That's just the way it is. I don't want kids going through the bullying and the way that they have the right, because it's a constitutional right, to rip somebody and hide behind a keyboard. I'll fight that till I'm dead. Next question. That was a good question.
Oh, boy. Eloquently said, Tom Izzo. That was like poetry. That was like poetry right there. But, yeah, again, you know, there are some harsh people in this world. And Twitter and Facebook has, you know, I'm not bad because I'm on Twitter a lot. I'm on Facebook right now. You can follow me on Instagram as well. I'm always on social media. But at the same time, there's a fine line between criticizing someone and making it personal and crossing that territory. And, I think Tom Izzo, that's why he's such a big proponent on hating the social media realm. And we all know, I mean, Tom Izzo has been no stranger to making that opinion voiced harshly. So interesting take on it, though, folks. What do you think about it? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I'm interested. Have you ever, watched a game? And for those of you out there who have Twitter accounts, have you ever watched a game and maybe have tweeted something that you maybe may have regretted, and possibly deleted it? Because I've been in that situation before. Watching my Pistons sometimes, it gets very, very frustrating. But again, that's professional basketball. I've never bashed ever a kid. A college athlete. That's a different realm. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Later on in the show, again, you don't want to change that dial because, again, we'll be talking with Audrey Dahlgren, WLNS TV 6 sports reporter and anchor. Audrey will give us our thoughts on, of course, Big Ten freshman eligibility. The MSU women's basketball team, her thoughts on the Izzo presser, and so much more. In just a sec, though, we'll be diving into Derrick Rose, who, man, you got a feel for that brother, right? Don't touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports on this beautiful, B-E-A-utiful, February 25th. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and I hope you are in a great mood. On today's show, I believe, Wednesday? World Wednesday. I believe this is music from the Beatles, right,
yeah,
Alex? I had no idea. Yeah, forgive
me. Hey, one last note real quick on the Twitter messages and the bullying.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's astonishing the most out of this situation is that these are adults, sometimes 50 or 60-year-old adults,
mm-hmm.
bashing a kid.
Right.
And you think, okay, well, when I was in high school or middle school, there's this bully Johnny that used to pick on me and he'd say mean things to me.
You really?
Oh, I'm just giving an example.
I thought this was a real life situation.
No.
I'm gonna say, oh man, Alex, I feel bad for you, man.
What I'm saying is
this happens though, yeah.
These are adults bullying kids. And you think that when you're 50 or 60 years old, you don't know any adults that bully kids anymore or that bully other adults. You grow out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But this almost kind of encourages the amateurness and the immatureness from adults, and it's disappointing. And I feel with Tom Izzo on that, where you're going to keep fighting for these kids because it's a distraction from them off the court, and they're not really as focused as much in the game sometimes because of that.
Right, right.
I mean, you know how it is. A lot of it playing a sport is mental. Probably mm-hmm. the majority of it is mental.
Yeah.
So especially for a game like that, that's going to get to you.
No, certainly. And, we could go on and on about this conversation because also, I mean, there's a segue now that's – And there's a situation right now where it's really become a big problem here in America. And that, of course, is the realm of cyberbullying. And cyberbullying, of course, is, you know, kids who are on social media, you know, different kids who are on social media and are friends with that individual, you know, just bullying that individual through the use of words on a social media platform. And we've seen multiple kids sadly take their lives, commit suicide. I mean, there's certainly a trickle down effect, and there's a lot of layers to this conversation. Actually, a lot of people don't know. Actually, Alex, when I was in college, my senior year of college, I don't know if you know who Joe Grimm is, professor here at Michigan State University. I was in Joe Grimm's journalism 4-something class. It was like 400 class, I think it was. And I wrote a book. We wrote a book. The entire class, we wrote a book. It's actually published right now. Gosh, what's the name of it? Wow, I do not remember the name of that book.
Well, what? I know they have the 100 stereotypes on a certain... Is it 100 stereotypes
on cyberbullying?
No,
it's not that one. No? It's not that... Oh, I'm going to have to look it up and post it later. But yeah, right, I am officially... I'm an author. I wrote one chapter of that book, actually. I did a lot of interviews, and I kind of attacked the angle from a fraternal perspective. So yeah, it's on Amazon right now. I just can't remember it, so you can't buy it right now, folks, but I'll mention that later on. How do I write a book in that? I'm probably the only person in the history of authorship that can't remember the name of the book that I contributed to.
Hey, man, that's because you write a new book every day, right?
That's that oh, I like that. Put that on a t-shirt. There you go. Ha, that was hot, Alex. You know, Alex, really quickly, before we segue here, I want to bring this up because I thought this was absolutely hilarious. Now, I didn't get a chance to go to the MSU men's basketball practice yesterday because I was prepping to do play-by-play for the East Lansing and Grand Ledge High School basketball game. But there was a funny story that came out concerning the mother of Travis Trice. Did you hear about this?
I didn't. No, please.
You didn't hear about this?
Please explain.
All right, so Michigan State's 60-53, I just read it straight here from the Freep here. Graham Couch wrote this. Michigan State's 60-53 win Sunday night at Illinois came with an assist from a familiar voice. That of senior guard Travis Trice's mother, Julie. As each Illini player stepped to the free throw line, she let out her signature high-pitched catcall. The nation's top free throw shooting team at 79% missed 6 of its first 12. Trice went on to say on Tuesday, quote, "She's been doing it since high school, man. She and my aunt, Amy Gibson, usually they come to the game and it's both of them. So it's worse. It's worse in a high school gym. Yeah. That's my mom." How funny is that, man? So every time, you know, the opposition is shooting a free throw, she yells out some cat call. Like, ah! Well, I don't know what it is. That was a terrible cat call. But yeah, I mean, she yells out something crazy. And, you know, it disrupts the team. How about that, man?
The secret behind Michigan State basketball. Interesting little nugget
there. How about
that?
The story within the story. You know, when you were playing ball, did you ever have your mom come to games and yell out stuff?
I didn't. My parents were more reserved. But I know that there are some teammates of mine that would do some weird, you know, they'd do some weird chants, or they try to make players miss the free throw line, but not a cat call. That's unique, man. That's a
cat call, baby.
That must be a Chicago thing there.
It must be. You know, my stepdad would come to the games and he would yell at the referees, but that's not. Yeah, that's not.
And
that's different.
With what I understand, Al, you yourself were yelling at referees yourself.
Oh
you?
Man, I was feisty, dude. I actually one season led our team in technical fouls. Not something I'm proud of. I've toned down tremendously.
You've channeled it into the radio. You can echo your sentiments across the air now.
But you know, I'm usually, you know, I'm pretty even keel on the radio. So, but yeah, I was pretty feisty. All right. Well, I want to bring this story up here, Alex, because I tell you what, this brother cannot catch a break. Folks, if you haven't heard, Chicago Bulls guard Derrick Rose has a torn meniscus in his right knee and will undergo surgery, the team announced on Tuesday. Now, Rose reported earlier in the day that with right knee pain, an exam and subsequent MRI confirmed the tear. Now, a timetable for Rose's return will be determined once he has surgery. The Bulls and Rose decided to fix the meniscus tear instead of cutting the damaged part out in order to elongate Rose's career. Now, check this out. He's only 26 years old. He was averaging 18.4 points, 5 assists in 46 games this season. And what makes the situation so interesting is because, of course, those of you who've been following Derrick Rose's career, those NBA fans out there, or you can even just be a casual sports fan to know of Derrick Rose's history when it comes to injuries. He tore his anterior ligament in his left knee in game one of the 2012 playoffs against Philadelphia. Then the 2011 NBA MVP missed the entire next season and played in only 10 games before the previous right knee injury shelved him for the rest of last year. So, Derrick Rose made his return this season. Everybody in the city of Chicago was very, very much so in tune with what was going on with this team and following Rose. Rose looked great when he played for the FIBA Olympic team right before the season started. His hops were through the roof. His athleticism seemed to be there. He still played with that reckless abandonment. And then this happens. In the city of Chicago, I tell you what, they can't catch a break because also last night, as you guys know, as I mentioned in our quick hit headliners, of course, Blackhawks star on the ice, Patrick Kane, is expected to miss 6 to 10 weeks after suffering an upper body injury in the Hawks' 3-2 shootout win over the Panthers yesterday. So Chicago with a double blow last night of injury. So, and I tell you what, man, you know, you got to feel for Derrick Rose because this is an individual who, again, he has unbelievable athletic talent, one of the best players in the NBA. And, you know, I tell you what, man, just imagine if he was healthy throughout his entire career. I mean, just what kind of numbers would he be putting up? I always think about that. And, you know, it's crazy because since his MVP season in 2011, when he played in nearly every game, Derrick Rose has really struggled to stay on the court. And the results speak for itself. In 2010 and 2011, get this, he played in 99% of the games. He averaged 25 points, 7.7 assists per game. And on the flip side, since then, he's only played in 33% of his games. His average went down from 25 to 19.5 points per game. And is averaging, well, not so much in, I guess, in the assists per game average. I mean, he averaged 7.7 assists in 2011. He's averaging 6.1 now. But I just tell you what, man, it's just really, really frustrating to see a player with this much talent go through a situation like this when knowing how good he is. When Derrick Rose was healthy, I mean, he was arguably the best player in the league. He was on, you know, on that level of a Kevin Durant, of a LeBron James, of a Kobe Bryant at the time. And, you know, for me, something that's really remarkable, I was actually talking to Isaac, one of our students here who does another outstanding job here on Current Sports Radio, and Isaac's a big NBA guy. And, you know, Alex, Isaac and I got into a really interesting conversation on just how the NBA has kind of just changed over the years and the health of NBA players over the years and just players and athletes in general. And the amount of injuries in the NBA today is just absolutely disheartening and ridiculous, if you ask me. I mean, if you look at it, of course, Kevin Durant, he's been injured and going through a lot of injuries this year. Russell Westbrook, his teammate in OKC, he missed a lot of the beginning portion of this season. To bring a local tie to it, Brandon Jennings, who was playing out of his mind, absolutely redonkulous, he goes out, tears his Achilles heel, goes out for the rest of the season. Kobe Bryant, now Kobe Bryant has a lot of miles on those wheels of his. At the same time, I mean, Kobe Bryant comes back and, you know, he tears his rotator cuff. He's out for the rest of the year. And, you know, it really makes me question. I saw this conversation happening on multiple, you know, national platforms once the news of Derrick Rose came out. And I really question today, Alex, the conditioning of the players today. I feel as though, you know, players today, and I mentioned this yesterday, you know, a lot of players today, they don't make them like they used to, man. A lot of players today are made of paper, dude. And, you know, I think that when it comes to the health, the overall health of a player, now I'm not saying that's the case with Derrick Rose, because anytime you have an ACL tear, that ACL, I mean, it's vulnerable. It becomes very, 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 very vulnerable. And your knees in general. And with the way and the way that Derrick Rose plays, he's susceptible to a lot of those injuries. But at the same time, when looking like the overall injury spectrum of the NBA today, I mean, you didn't see that back in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 90s even. I felt as though the game was a lot more physical than it is today, and a lot more, way more, 100 times more physical. And to see how the game has been watered down to the point where ideally it plays to the catch of the offensive-minded player, and to see the injuries still happen or through the roof, I mean, the most that we've seen ever in the NBA, I mean, that's truly disheartening. And I have to really question the conditioning of the athlete in today's game.
Well, that's a good point because, yeah, it is a little bit less physical, like you said. It is a little bit paper-minded.
Tremendously.
I would agree with you. But at the same time, I'd still make the argument that athletes are more athletic. You see guys jumping out of the gym. I mean, look what we've seen with, what's his name? The guy that just won, Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy is incredibly athletic. The college dunk contests now that you see are way better. The guys that are in this contest now, they're quicker, they're faster. I mean, what was the guy you saw, when was the last time you saw a guy like Tum Tum fly down the court like that? I mean, at the same time, I feel that, yeah, it's a little bit softer physically, but at the same time, I mean, when the guys are getting stronger and faster, your bones and your muscles are more vulnerable at the same time, so it's a two-sided coin for me.
But when you're getting stronger and faster, I mean, you ideally are getting stronger, bigger, faster, stronger. I mean, you would think that your body will be able to sustain the wear and tear more so than it did previously in previous years. So, I don't know, I just really have to question it. And that's, you know, one of the big examples that I always bring up with this argument is Tracy McGrady. I mean, I used to be a big fan of T-Mac. And, you know, he was a guy who was not known for being a gym rat, not getting in the gym and working on his body. And you saw the amount of injuries that he had. So, I don't know, I just really question it. You got to feel bad for the guy, though. Derrick Rose, you got to feel bad for him. And just really unfortunate situation. So, all right, folks, let's hit our second break of the show. When we come back, we'll be talking, of course, MSU men's basketball. We'll talk a little women's basketball as well. Audrey Dahlgren of WLNS TV6 will join me in just a sec. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
I think, believe it or not, I think we're trying to figure out, first and foremost, what is best for a student? What is best for a person 18 to 22 years old? At least that's what I swear to you, 90% of my decisions are based on that. What can you really do to help them? Because those kids, when I'm in that old folks home, they're going to be running our country. Some of them are. And, you know, right now it's the Wild Wild West. It's kind of a free-for-all out there. And, you know, the Constitution says freedom of speech. And now you got different people. You know what I loved about your article? I'm going to say this publicly because I heard it today again. What I loved about it is everybody's got these opinions. And they're never in the basement. They're never with us. Everybody's got an opinion how you should deal with somebody ripping you. 99% of those people never had anybody ripping them. Be 18 to 22 and have that happen. Be 15 to 22 and have that happen. Are we insane what we're thinking? It's ridiculous. It is going to affect you.
Yeah, it was so good we had to play it again, folks. Again, that was Tom Izzo during today's afternoon presser talking about, you know, individuals out there who hide behind keyboards, his hate for Twitterverse and so on and so forth. And right now, hey, it's about that time. Let's invite our guest for today's current sports show, Audrey Dahlgren of WLNS TV6. She's a sports reporter and anchor over there for Channel 6 News. Audrey, how you doing?
Hi, Al. I'm doing fantastic. How are you today?
Oh, I cannot complain. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood right now.
It's actually very warm out today.
Yeah.
Well, compared to other days, I should say.
And I tell you what, folks, if you don't know Audrey, she is a workout fanatic. Audrey, you actually ran a marathon not too long ago, right?
Yeah, a half marathon. I ran
a half marathon. Right.
In October I did. Yep, 13.1 miles. So
oh, my goodness. I just got my heart start beating just thinking about 13.1 miles. I mean, that's unbelievable. So, I mean, with a day like this, I mean, do you take advantage of it? Do you run? Because I know you're very in tune with working out, Audrey.
Yeah, I would love to have run outside today. It's actually one of the warmer days that we've had in a while. But with the workload that's on the plate for today, I didn't have the chance to get out there.
Right, that is certainly true. Now, speaking of that workload, of course, a part of that workload happened to be attending Tom Izzo's afternoon presser today. Now, you just heard, and you were actually, you know, there at the Breslin Center and got a chance to hear his comments firsthand. You just heard him there, Audrey, concerning Big Ten freshman ineligibility. I'm very interested to get your comments on it because it's a conversation we've had day in and day out since the Big Ten announced that they would put that conversation on the table and possibly consider it. What are your thoughts on it, and do you agree with Tom Izzo?
I do agree with Tom. Actually, being at the press conference, it was really, you know, moving because all the passion and stuff that he has in regards to it. But I just think for the Big Ten, it will hurt them because they're going to be the only conference. If they do this, they'll be the only conference that, you know, will put this in I guess, in state or, you know, in, you know, the other conferences, if you're a freshman, why wouldn't you go to somewhere else where you can play right away? I don't know. It kind of seems like it works in disadvantage to the Big Ten.
Right.
But that's kind of my view on it.
Yeah, and Audrey, you know, in that same token, in that same conversation, I've always thought when I first even read about this article, I thought, you know, isn't that what a red shirt is for? And shouldn't that be a coach's decision and not the overall conference's decision? Because at the end of the day, I mean, the coaches are around these players the most. They understand the mindset of those freshmen. And, I mean, you can pretty much gauge and bet on that Tom Izzo knows whether or not a freshman can handle.
Yeah,
exactly. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Any Division I coach, any coach I would feel in the country, they're in that position. They're with the athletes all the time. They can make that call if they want to make that call. So I don't really understand that aspect of it. I mean, I'm not around the people in the conference, and I don't know what they talk about. But it seems like that the coaches do have a good understanding for the athletes that they have, and if they want that, then they can do that. They can have the red shirt.
Yeah, certainly. Also, RJ, I want to get your thoughts, of course, on Graham Couch's article. I got a chance to catch it. It was actually published in the Lansing State Journal yesterday, in yesterday's edition, and I thought it was a great take on how just general fans out there, I mean, they just don't know that boundary, so to speak, especially when you're talking about kids who are still in college, who sort of, you know, toe that line between crossing that line and just saying things that really don't need to be said. When you talk about a college athlete, I mean, did you agree with Graham's article? What do you think about the whole Twitterverse? And Tom has been no stranger in letting his opinion be known on it.
Well, honestly, I read the paper almost every day, but I did not read it yesterday. And I haven't actually read Graham's article yet.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know. I mean, I obviously was at the press conference and I heard Tom Izzo praising Graham Couch about it. In terms of if it is, you know, people that bash the athletes through Twitter,
right.
Is that what it
is? That's exactly what it's about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's wrong. I think anybody that sits behind a keyboard and bashes someone else is wrong. I mean, we get that all the time.
Yeah.
As far as at the station, you know, we have a public Facebook page, a public Twitter, you know, and people are definitely willing to sit there and tell you how they feel through Facebook and Twitter, but I don't know if it would be the same situation if you were up with them face to face, and I don't agree with that. I'm not a big, I don't hate on people anyway as it is, and
right.
So I definitely think it's wrong that you do that to athletes. They're young, you know, they're there to play the game, and half the time, you know, they're absorbing it all too, just like anybody in anything. You're absorbing it all, you're learning, and it's kind of hard to criticize people when you're not actually doing it yourself. So,
yeah, that is, hey, preach, Audrey.
Yeah.
I agree. I certainly agree, folks. If you're just not tuning in, we are talking with Audrey Dahlgren of WLNS TV6. She's a sports reporter and anchor over there. All right, Audrey, I want to talk about the MSU women's basketball team because, of course, you've been following this team throughout the entire year. They are right now sitting at 13-14, just under 500 overall, 5-11 in conference. They have two more games left. If they do win those two, they will be eligible for, of course, the NIT tournament. First off, what are your overall thoughts on this team and just how they've dealt with the adversity and the cards they've been dealt with all year?
Honestly, you know, if anybody's been around this program this season, if anybody's, you know, talked to Susie Merchant or been with Susie Merchant after her press conferences, it really is about the fight. And she preaches that almost every, you know, press conference. And I don't know, people might get maybe sick of hearing it, but it's the truth. These girls come and they put so much into every game. I mean, you see it. Ariel Powers, she's getting rebounds left and right. I mean, that game against Rutgers, that was just like almost like a football game. It was so physical.
Right.
But, you know, that's what they do. And, you know, they don't have the numbers right now, so they have to be physical. And they've been in almost every game that they've played this season. It just seems like towards the end, you know, they just don't have the numbers. And when you don't have the numbers, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to battle back against teams that have a full rotation on their bench and they have people coming off that are used to doing that. And Michigan State doesn't really have that right now, but but they have been doing a great job with the numbers that they do have. You know, from Tori Jankowska, Lexi Gusser, and Kennedy Johnson, those two freshmen have started to step up as the end of the season has approached. So good. That's good for them.
And I want to talk about Ariel Powers for a moment because I tell you what, Audrey, it's been times watching this team throughout the entire year, really, where, I mean, her athleticism and her competitive nature is just, I mean, it's unbelievable. And she became the all-time single-season points and double-double leader in MSU women's basketball history. I mean, what do you think makes Ariel Power so special?
And she's only a sophomore.
I know, right? Crazy. Crazy. It's insane to think about that.
I know. I just think that her desire and her passion for the game, you see it every day. She's the most electric player to watch on the floor. on any team, on any other. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of players, you know, from around the Big Ten that get on the floor, and she out-hustles people for rebounds, and, you know, when she gets an and-one, she's yelling, and, you know, she's always encouraging the other her teammates to, you know, keep that intensity and that fire up. And I just think that she, I mean, I've talked to her about it before. I'm like, what makes you the person that you are? Like, why are you so, I guess, just intense about it all? And she's like, I'm just a competitor. She's like, I hate losing, and I just want to be the best that I can be. And then she's like, once I reach these marks, you know, I want to keep, you know, keep going at them so that nobody can ever touch them. And, you know, she just,
yeah,
that's her attitude.
She's special. She certainly is. And I tell you what, Tori Jankowska is the same way. Those two being, yes, they're so competitive on the basketball court. So now, Audrey, I mean, taking into account everything that's happened this year with the injuries, with the illnesses, with, of course, Jasmine Lumpkin and the drama midseason with her leaving the team, mm-hmm, and looking at how they've still battled throughout this year, you know, I've gotten a variances amounts of different opinions in my email, through Twitter, and so on and so forth, as far as the I guess you can say the lens at with the public, you know, what sort of lens they look at this season with. For you, looking at everything that's happened this year and looking at what's transpired in the win and loss column, what sort of lens, if you are Susie Merchant, do you look at this season with? One of failure or one of progress?
Oh, Al, that's a tough question because, I mean, from her standpoint, it's like, what do you do when you only have 8 healthy players and one of them is from the volleyball team?
Right.
I mean, in terms, I feel as though she has to look at this as a season, as not a failure, because it'd be different if opponents were blowing them out by 20, 30, 40 points a game. You know, it'd be different if they weren't battling and, you know, making strides. And, you know, those, like I said earlier, those younger freshman players are starting to find their roles. And Lexi Gussert had a career high against Minnesota a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, there has to be a somewhat of a silver lining, I guess, in terms of it all.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 because on that same token of competitiveness, I mean, Susie Merchant is one of the most competitive coaches you ever come around, one of the most competitive people you ever come around. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I certainly understand that. So, all right, I want to get your take on this. We're going to kind of put you on the spot here for a prediction here. Of course, with Illinois, they play Illinois on the road tonight, and Purdue awaiting now. 13-14, they got to win these two to be eligible. What do you think happens?
I think Michigan State is going to beat Illinois tonight. They're fresh off of that win against Rutgers, who's 19th in the country when they played them. And last time they played Illinois, they won. And that was their first win in the Big Ten. That's the first win of the season in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. So I think even though they're going to be at Illinois, I think they're going to win. I think probably by like 7 points.
Okay.
7, 8 points.
7-point win. All right, what about Purdue?
Purdue. I believe that with Purdue, it'll be their final game. They'll be on a 2-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they'll be able to, once they get those, you know, if that happens, they get the win tonight, I think they'll be able to keep roller coasting. And with the fight that they have and Susie Merchant as their coach, I believe that they'll be able to close out this season on a high note.
Well, you heard her from herself. She just looked into her crystal ball, folks.
Oh,
she thinks,
we'll see.
Hey, there we go. I'm going to play this back. If you are right, Audrey, I'm going to play this back on the show and dine you a profit, okay?
All right.
All right, Audrey, really quick here, because you were also in the house last night. Of course, I was doing play-by-play for 92-1, the team, last night. But you were in the house for that East Lansing and Grand Ledge game, a game that, a lot of fouls in that game, over 40 fouls.
I could not, you know what? It was funny because I asked the athletic director of last night, I said, you know, is there any way, because they stopped keeping track of the fouls on the scoreboard. And
right.
I was like, do you know the, foul total? Because, I mean, after a while, it just got out of hand.
Yeah, it did. It did. Because, you know, actually, Doc Love, who was my color commentator for that game, I mean, we tallied it up. It was something like 37 fouls on the end of Grand Ledge and near 20 for, I believe, East Lansing. So, I mean, such a gritty game. But, what, you know, with that loss now for Grand Ledge, they've now lost 2 straight. And with the win last night that Everett had over Sexton,
mm-hmm,
I mean, Everett right now is in that first place in the CAAC Blue. I mean, how impressive has this run been for Desmond Ferguson and Trevor Manuel over there for Everett?
I think it's a good run for them, but at the same time, you know, it's like in any league, they're getting help from the people at the right time that they need help from.
Right.
you know, because that win for East Lansing last night did them a huge favor. But it was crucial that they, because they were able to beat Grand Ledge, you know, and that put them in the top, you know, that was a good win for them. So I don't know. I mean, they are on a big run. I mean, they've got Trevor Manuel. He's going to Oregon. He's huge. And they've got Jamyron Jackson. He's a fast little guard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've got key components to be a really good, they are a good team. They're leading the Blue right now. So I think if they can keep that up, they should be good.
All right. There you go. Audrey Dong. And Audrey Dong, going to give you a chance to pub yourself a little bit. How can people follow you on Twitter, follow your work, so on and so forth?
What can they do to follow it?
That's right. What's your Twitter handle? What's your, I believe they can follow. I think you guys post just about every broadcast you do on WLNS.com, right?
Yeah. Oh, my Twitter handle is at Audrey WLNS. Pretty simple. And then my Facebook is just Audrey Dahlgren.
There you go. All right. Well, there you have it. Thanks a lot, Audrey. Great take as always. I'm sure I'll be seeing you multiple times throughout the year. March Madness right around the corner. Can you believe that?
No, but I'm excited.
All right, there you have it. Thanks a lot, Audrey.
Thank you, Al.
All right, again, Audrey Dahlgren of WLNS TV6 sports reporter and anchor. Well, just 4 minutes left in the show. Hey, did you want to weigh in on something that you didn't get a chance to? Again, simply just go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there, and I will read it on Current Sports Radio tomorrow. Or you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, and I will read your tweets as well. Or, hey, just follow me. If you don't want to tweet me, at least follow me, okay? I'm always on Twitter, always on social media. Well, to close out the show, I definitely wanted to get to the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings. Both the Pistons and Wings, Alex, falling last night. Now, again, I was covering the Grand Ledge and East Lansing game last night, so I didn't get a chance to catch a lot of those games last night. Caught a little bit of the Pistons game, like 8 minutes of the Pistons game in the final minutes, but they just couldn't contribute in the second half. I didn't know what happened in that second half. But did you get a chance to catch either one of those games?
I caught the Wings game, and yeah, they were coming in pretty hot, beat some very good teams. But the thing about last night, you know, they just, when it comes to some tough teams and some crucial goals, power play goals, sometimes they just have a little bit of trouble.
So is this still a problem? Because this is one thing I want to dive into that I didn't get to today. When it comes to the Detroit Red Wings, we know that the Red Wings have had a problem when it comes to shootouts in late game situations and also in the power play.
Yeah.
Is that still a problem this season?
Well, that's the thing. It's a little, with the Anaheim game, I mean, a 2-0 lead is the most dangerous lead in hockey. And that's what they had going into the third period.
Right.
And when they lost that game, a lot of the goals that Anaheim scored, sometimes they're garbage goals. Sometimes they're deflective goals. There's sometimes you can't do anything about that, regardless if it's a power play. So for the Wings, that game in particular, it has been a problem so far this year. But I don't think it defines what this team can do, and they're still one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. So I think the Wings will still make a run, Al. It just was a game that just a little bit ugly. You have games like that sometimes.
Yeah.
You can't be perfect.
That is true.
Unless you're Kentucky.
Yeah. That is very, very true. All right, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to table this conversation. We will roll it over into tomorrow's Thursday edition of Current Sports. Again, folks, want to give a big shout-out to Audrey Dahlgren of WLNS TV6 for joining me on today's show. Want to give a big shout-out to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Stick around. We'll have a great show in store for you tomorrow, as, of course, we'll dive into Throwback Thursday, talk a little NBA, a little NHL, and so much more. As always, take care, have one fantastic hump day, and hey, be easy, people.